Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. It's Ben. Trevor is gone forever. He's never coming back. He's been replaced by a younger and stronger male, a more apt host of the Locked On Podcast, or as he actually himself announced on Friday, he's on vacation. But as he said on the Fan Friday episode, we did not have a plan for this week. Surprise, we do. The plan is the newest member of staff at the Draft Network. Very pleased to be joined for Offensive Line Week by Jordan Reed, NFL Draft Analyst at the Draft Network. Follow him on Twitter at JReedNFL. Reed is R-E-I-D. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. Pleasure to be here, man. I'm excited.
Of course, dude. All right. We just finished tight end week. Actually, we finished all the offensive skill positions, but we just finished tight end week. Do you have any spicy tight end takes before we get started?
So I haven't dived deep into the tight end class, but I was really appreciating what you guys were saying about Hunter Bryant from Washington. You guys seem to be a big fan of him, so I'm excited to get into his tape. And Kobe Parkinson as well from Stanford. Stanford always has a plethora of tight ends, so I'm excited to dig into his tape further as well.
Oh, talk about Pac-12 guys. I see you ingratiating yourself to me. It's very smart. You get on my good side right away. Speaking of Pac-12, offensive line, we have, I think, about 14 names in the hopper, but we're starting the entire Monday episode, kicking the week off like the Ducks. The Oregon offensive line not only has left tackle Penei Sewell, who's going to be a potential first-round guy when he comes out, highly recruited freshman, started last year, did a great job at left tackle. The rest of their line, by the end of last year, was starting rising seniors who will all potentially be draft-eligible guys and drafted guys. This is a very similar feel. I don't know how you experienced it, but for me, in terms of preseason hype and attention, very similar feel to kind of the Wisconsin offensive line, which obviously a little bit underperformed last year, their expectations, a little bit underperformed their expectations in the draft. Bo Benchwazel doesn't get drafted. Tyler Biadasz goes back to school. But left guard Shane Lemieux, center Jake Hansen, right guard Calvin Throckmorton slash right tackle, and then right tackle Bradley Aiello. Okay, let me ask you this one. Let's start with who you thought the best player was. I don't pick a name. I want you to start by breaking down who you think the top Oregon offensive lineman is this year.
I think it was Hansen. And, I mean, he's the engineer of it all. He's the guy at the center of the entire operation. I love his leverage. And you can just see he's pointing out where everybody's supposed to go. And that's what you want to see from a center. You want to see, because around the country, what you notice is that some offenses are really different because the offense sometimes operates through the quarterback with them setting protections and audibling and things of that sort. But you see Hansen really pointing out some of those things. And Herbert does have some responsibilities, but Hansen really is the guy that the offense really goes through. And that just shows a lot about him, especially considering that they have so much depth and experience up front. For them to instill that trust in him is huge. So he was by far the best of the bunch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I also think he's unquestionably the best. I think definitely he's the best athlete. There's no doubt about that for me. I'm curious, you brought up the diagnosing and sliding protections and all that stuff. How did you feel about Hansen's recognition of and response to twists and stunts? Because if I have a big complaint right now, is that I think Hansen was late dealing with stunts. And you watched that Michigan State game. Michigan State was very successful for four quarters in generating pressure. They have a lot of guys who can win on one-on-one. I'm really excited to get into that defensive line, which, of course, will be next week. It's not this week. But they got some good players, some draft-eligible guys. So it's not like, you know, Hansen's giving it up to scrubs. He's giving it up to NFL players, and that's okay. Offensive linemen are going to lose some reps. But to me, I think one of my big concerns with him in pass protection right now, when it's head up on him, he can get that snap hand up quick. He has, like you said, good initial leverage. I think he's got good recovery quickness, strength throughout his frame. He uncoils his hips. Everything you'd like to see is there. But when he has to deal with moving pieces and those stand-up guys who sugar into the A-gap, sugar into the B-gaps, and he doesn't know who's coming where, sometimes I think he slides too early. He gets too locked into a half, and he gives up interior pressures. That was one of my big complaints with him. I don't know if you saw the same thing.
Yeah, I think you might be still in there looking at my notebook over there or something, man. That's like one of the things I have a star beside his name, because what Oregon does a lot is they incorporate a bunch of slide protection. So he's never really blocking a bunch of man on targets or head up or anything like that, like you alluded to. So when things start moving opposite directions or people are going in different directions, it really does keep his head on the swivel, and he really does struggle with that. Now, when he does pick it up, I think he buries his head a little bit, and he doesn't really recognize when a guy is the crasher or when a guy is the looper. And that's something that I think he needs to work on a lot.
Yeah, I agree. But Hanson, I think definitely the most NFL ready. I'll be honest, I liked what I saw from him in 2017 film a little better than in 2018 film, which I had the advantage of going back and seeing that film when I was preparing for the Pac-12 last year. Both him and Nick Harris, the center now at Washington, are two we should expect of the top draft eligible centers that'll come out, both now coming back for the senior year. I liked Hanson a little better. 2018 was a little bit shakier film, but I know he's a good player, and you know it's okay to have off years, especially when you're on the offensive line. So much of it is conditional style of play. For example, I thought that he was at his best in terms of handling those stunts and twists when working with left guard Shane Lemieux, who I would say is the second best player on this offensive line. That would be my take, which there's a right guard, right tackle, and Calvin Throckmorton, who gets a lot of love. I know PFF's a big fan of him. I like Lemieux better, and Lemieux is a bulldog, right? Yeah. Dude is angry and physical, and he and the big thing is, like, if you took just from a technique perspective, Hanson and Lemieux, I'm not sure that Hanson is technically that much better of a player than Lemieux. Athletically is where they're different. Lemieux is an effective climber to the second level. Hanson is his best trait. When Hanson's able to get clear to the second level on zone concepts, beautiful.
Absolutely.
Great angles, great movement, great hands, everything. Lemieux, if he can get up there and he can latch onto you, he can displace you, but he doesn't have, I don't think, the grip strength. He doesn't have the agility. And then the big issue, he definitely doesn't have the reach. And it's admirable how well Lemieux has learned how to work his hands independently. We talk about independent hand usage all the time on the interior, and how to maximize his length, how to attack joints, address the elbow when he's being long-armed, and keep his anchor and work with flexibility to deal with the fact that he's simply, I think he's stubby. I think he's got short arms. It's going to be a problem for him. But the physicality that he brings, I mean, you put on the Stanford film, dude's clearing flow, right? If they're heavy flow, the dude's a pile driver. And that's really helpful when you're trying to come backside, especially when you have a quarterback like Herbert, who's a threat to keep into running. So Lemieux, I don't know about you. I liked him better than Throckmorton, and I like what he has technique-wise. I think he's a smart player, good recognition, some really advanced pass protection reps, loves to jump set, because he knows his physical weaknesses, and those might be a much bigger problem at the next level.
So the first three bullet points I have after Lemieux, and it's pretty spot on with what you said, is effort, want to, and I have nastiness in all caps, because that's the one thing that really stood out about him. And you just love to see that nasty demeanor from an offensive lineman, specifically a guard. And when he's uncovered in that slide protection, he's looking to help and scan. And he just absolutely buries his face mask in the guy's ribs. And you just love seeing that from an offensive lineman like that. And the one thing I did note about him was resetting and repositioning his hands. That's something that I thought he was fantastic at. And he does struggle with length. Guys do bull rushing from time to time, but when he's able to sustain inside and he does a good job of anchoring and repositioning his hands, I think that's one of his best traits. Now, some negatives I had about him. I said he struggled against twitch and length, which is something that you talked about. When he has some of those short, stubby guys on the interior that can really get into his chest, I think he does struggle. He's an average athlete, and length, of course, he does struggle with that. And what I mean by, I wrote down overeager. And what I mean by overeager is that he gets a bit aggressive, too aggressive, and he ducks his head a bit, and guys are able to swim move him and stuff like that. So, and he fails to sustain as well, which goes back to the length questions with him. So I was a fan of him, and I think he's much better than what Throckmorton was to this point, but he would be a step slow or a step lower than Hanson.
Yeah, and I really there was a rep that I watched in Michigan State with independent hand usage and resetting his hands against a long arm, where I watched it on the flight. Because I just flew back from a wedding today where we're recording, and I was like, oh man, like I had to write this time down, bookmark it, so I need to be able to screen grab this and comment on this and slow this down. Like I was like, I need Wi-Fi right now. I would do it on the plane if I could buy the Wi-Fi right now. Because I watched this rep like seven times. Ladies, the next thing must have been like, what is he watching? But it was just it's such a quality rep. It's gonna be on my timeline, I promise, by the time that this show comes out. But we've alluded to him, so let's talk about him. Calvin Throckmorton is an Oregon right tackle, right guard. He's been super versatile for them. I believe he has double-digit career starts both at right guard and at right tackle. Like I said, he's a guy that analytics, and PFF's really the only one I've seen, but PFF I've seen be really positive about him, and obviously the battles between PFF and offensive line play are well-storied at this point, but Throckmorton, big name, great name. What did you see on his film? What do you think that he sticks best at the next level?
So position versatility. That was the one thing that stuck out about him. Last year alone, he had 5 starts at right tackle, 5 at left tackle, 1 actually at center, and 1 at right guard. And he's a guy you have to really pay close attention to because throughout games, he could start one possession or one drive at left tackle, and then he'll just randomly go into right guard.
Right, so, yeah. Now, thankfully, he wraps up his elbows and tape. That's the only way I knew where he was.
Yeah, so you really have to pay attention to where he is on the film because you'll be like, man, where is he at right now? Especially when you have to look at it from the broadcast angle. So you really have to pay attention to exactly where he is. So he has 38 career starts to this point. Now, he did dislocate his left ankle in the Michigan State game in the fourth quarter last year. He didn't get to participate in spring ball this year. So this is going to be a big year for him. But just as far as his positives, I got versatility. He switches spots in games, so he's very comfortable at a multitude of positions, even though I think he's probably going to have to end up being a guard. I just don't think he has the foot speed in order to play or survive on the edge at tackle. I thought his punch was very violent and efficient, but that's really where his violent or his really eagerness really stops. And I don't know how much you remember Dalton Risner's tape from last year, but he has a very boring game. And that's not a knock against him, but he just doesn't get beat. And he doesn't get beat around the edge. He doesn't give up sacks. I'm sure PFF, that's a big reason why PFF really does love him, just because he doesn't give up sacks, because he has that boring game. And what you notice is that you're looking up, you're like, man, this guy just doesn't get beat, even though it's not pretty. And that's why I say he has a boring game, but he just does his job. But as far as negatives, he's not very twitchy, and he's a bit of a short stepper. And do you remember Tyrell Crosby coming out from Oregon?
Yeah.
And how he really short set a lot horizontally versus rushers?
Right, that's the entire Oregon offensive line.
That's exactly what Throckmorton does. And I went back and matched my notes with exactly what I wrote down between Crosby and Throckmorton, and a lot of it was very similar. And they're really going to have to learn as far as setting vertically. Otherwise, they're going to get beat a lot inside. And that's where I think, or why, a big reason why I think he's probably not going to be able to sustain on the perimeter at tackle.
Exactly. And you said it just like that. They got to learn how to vertically set. They're going to get beat inside. And you saw Throckmorton get beat inside. And so what does that look like? When we say set vertically, right, you're getting into that 45-degree or deeper kick slide. You're throwing that kick leg back. So you're gaining depth against an edge rusher who's lined up outside of you, expecting him to come to your outside shoulder, and you want to meet him deep before he can get to the peak of the pocket. What Throckmorton in this short setting is they're taking a much more horizontal angle, so not 45 or deeper from the line of scrimmage, but like 30 or closer, quicker steps, the shorter, choppier steps, which, like, as a guard, I brought up Lemieux with jump setting. Lemieux short sets really, really well. But when Throckmorton's out of tackle and he does those horizontal sets, if he's coming too hard horizontally, then that outside rusher can spike right back inside of him, come opposite his momentum. Throckmorton struggled with that, and, man, Throckmorton can't recover, right? Like, that's the big thing to me is if he can latch on to you, the dude is long and upper body power in spades. I mean, he can just hang on to you and ride you, right? And then, like, those aren't even what I would necessarily call quality tape reps, but that's where, like, if you're just a big boy, you're a big boy. Yeah. And Throckmorton's a big boy, right?
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, like, it's going to be an effective block in that the quarterback adjusts his set point. He's not sacked, and boom, there you go. But from a tape perspective, the lack of explosiveness to recover is such a problem. To me, both at tackle and at guard, like when you said Oregon slides a lot, and they do, when they half slide away from Throckmorton, which they don't. They half slide away from Lemieux, but when he's at right guard and they half slide away from him, and you're leaving Throckmorton on an island with a defensive tackle, he's regularly getting beat to a half man, and he's getting at least – that defensive tackle is at least penetrating the pocket, moving the quarterback off his set point. That's how a sack starts. It doesn't always finish with the guy who got beat giving up the sack, but that penetration moves the quarterback. All the other offensive linemen think the quarterback is over here. Well, he's actually 2 yards over there. The defensive linemen can see it, so now they can adjust their rushes. That's where you get pressure. So Throckmorton's lack of quickness, to me, huge issue right now. And then you talked about, you know, like the short strides. To me, he's lumbering, right? He's a heavy-footed guy. Heavy, like, he's just, even when he's climbing, it's just he really lacks the ability, I think, to affect the outside of his frame. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they try to get him out on screens, especially like to the field side. But when they do run it to the boundary, he's able to get there. But you can really see how much of a lumber he is when they try to get him out on screens and really block, and or to the field side when they're trying to get him on those safeties or those corners in that area. He just isn't able to do that.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, like, he's a attractive idea to get out in space because, like I said, a big boy's a big boy. Like, linebacker's going to remember it. But the thing is, he just really struggles to tag those guys.
If he goes somewhere like the Baltimore Ravens or something, that would be like a perfect fit for him. just because he doesn't have to move in space or anything like that. But he has to play in tight quarters, and I think he's a guy that definitely has to play in a man or gaps type of scheme.
Right, and he's like, because you brought up, like, so he's got, you know, 3 years of starts. This will be his fourth year. He had starts at four different positions this year, primarily right guard and right tackle over his career. He's an ideal guy to roster because you know that he can solve a lot of problems for you. So now you can maybe only roster seven offensive linemen if you have Throckmorton because he's backing up so many different spots for you. Yeah. I don't know if there's starter caliber athleticism here. And even as like a backup, you know, I really got to see him move better in 2018 for me to get excited about him.
Yeah.
The last one, his name is Brady. His last name, I want to say Ioli. It's not Ioli, but that's how I keep on trying to pronounce it. Aiello. I'm not sure if that's right. I should have looked it up. But Brady Aiello was a rotational player for them in 2017, starting at both tackle spots. Again, got a rotational starting tackle spot this year. Looks to be potentially that Aiello will be the starting right tackle coming into the 2019 season. Obviously, you have Throckmorton recovering from injury, so it's something to monitor. But Aiello is the next and final senior of these four seniors that we have. We're talking about for Oregon today. Huge dude at 6'7", 310. Played the back half of the season. Oh, I don't think he's very good, Jordan. There's just that. They're short setting, and then there's just not understanding your set points. He's regularly, we talked about short setting is getting beat inside. He's getting beat outside because he's not getting to his set points on time with the correct amount of depth. He's heel clicking a lot. And like when you're heel clicking, I'm already, you know, when I'm talking about heel clicks, like when you're in your kick slide, when you're gaining depth or you're gaining width as an offensive lineman, and you're launching your post foot, your inside foot so early that it's making contact, essentially clicking heels with your kick foot. That means your base is narrow. It means you're not in control of your momentum. You want those to stay wide and be wide as long as possible. And Aiello's a heel clicker. And like I said, a rotational player, backup guy. Maybe if he starts a full season, there's more technical advancements there. But he's another lumber. He's another big body. Most of the guys in the Oregon offensive line are. And then there's just a real issue, I think, getting into his set that makes him a liability in pass protection.
Absolutely. So the first note I wrote about him when I was watching him, I said, versus wide nines, viewer discretion is advised.
Because yeah, right. We got a problem, baby.
When he goes against wide nines, it is not pretty. You don't know whether he's going to get beat up the field or inside just because he just doesn't have the foot speed and he's a heel clicker. Like you said, he opens the gate too soon. What I mean by open the gate, when he's facing those wide nines, his hips turn directly up the field. So when defensive ends are able to, or they give that counter move back inside after giving a hard step up the field, he has no clue how to recover from that. He's a bit of a head ducker and very similar to Throckmorton in that he does panic when he's not able to reposition or anything like that. So he relegates to just lunging his entire body and basically torpedoing his head into the defender, and he just has no control. And that brings me to my next point where he just plays way too out of control. So I think he's by far the worst of the bunch, but maybe he'll get better in a full-time starting role this year, even though he does have experience at both tackle spots. I think he started like 7 or 8 games down the back stretch of last year. Right. So maybe he'll get better as time goes on.
And it's wild because like we have these guys, like I said, Penei Sewell is the left tackle. And then they also have Dallas Warmack, Chance Warmack's younger brother, who's an Alabama transfer. He's also a senior. He was getting right guard reps at times when they were rotating with Throckmorton and Aiello. So we've got 5 seniors who have at least at some point been notable in their careers in terms of draft eligibility. We only talked about the 4 of them. We don't even know how this offensive line is going to shake out. God forbid there's injury, then you're going to see these guys in different spots. So yeah, it's something to figure out. Aiello may suffer his draft stock from the lack of consistency as to where he's flying and week to week, if he's a starter or if he's a backup. But that last point you brought up, him and Throckmorton with the playing out of control, they play so far over their toes. And I think, yeah, both of them just don't play with flat backs, right? Like there's just so much lean in their games. It's concerning stuff. And so like, it's not prohibitive, especially not before we see their final seasons. But to me right now, and I think we agree on this one, it's how we ended up doing it. Jake Hansen, Shane Lemieux, Calvin Throckmorton, Brady Aiello. I think Hansen's a potential day two guy. And that's where I was on him last year, and I think that's where he is again. I think that's the ceiling for him. Excited to see what Lemieux can bring, especially like, you know, athletically is going to be the interesting thing for him. But Joe Moore Ward, Oregon offensive line, a lot of graduating seniors. They're going to be highly effective. They're going to be able to run the ball well again. I don't know. Wisconsin's reloading a little bit. Oklahoma's reloading a little bit. They the favorites, do you think?
I think so. with as much experience that they do have coming back. I mean, a lot of people say they have the top quarterback in the country outside of, you know, maybe Tua and Trevor Lawrence, of course, and Herbert. This is a big year for him. Everybody's expecting big things from him now that he's been in the system for a very long time now. And, I mean, he came back to play with his younger brother. And a lot of people know maybe that was the right decision or maybe it wasn't. But a lot of people are really expecting Justin Herbert to take the next step. And I know we're both skeptical of Herbert. We want to see him make some significant strides this year because he did struggle down the backstretch of last year. The Michigan State game and the bowl game was not pretty at all. And I think that was another big reason why he did come back for his senior year. But I want to see some big steps out of him. But if he's able to play good this year, I think they're good enough defensively to maybe – I don't want to say the college football playoff, but maybe they could make it in just because of the experience that they do have. And I think the Pac-12, they definitely should be the top contender there.
Oh no, dude. Utah Utes, baby. Kyle Whittingham is the season. But, no, I'm very interested. Like, I compare these guys to the Wisconsin offensive line. A huge prohibitive favorites for the Joe Moore Award coming into the season.
Absolutely.
Don't get it. Oklahoma, you know, kind of shows out there. I'm be interested. Like, I'm worried the same thing might happen here with Oregon. I'm very interested to see what Memphis's offensive line look like. So I think Memphis should be a dark horse candidate for that award because they play really well down there. But for Oregon kids there, I promise you on tomorrow's episode, we will get to more than one school. It's just much easier when you're watching offensive linemen to watch one offensive line and just get that unit done instead of having to go through all those snaps of different games for those different players. But Jordan, thank you so much. First day, killed it. I hope you're feeling good, getting ready for the rest of the week. You got such an exciting positional group, but you did a good job. Like I said, we will be back tomorrow with more offensive line takes for the 2020 NFL Draft. He's Jordan, I'm Ben, and you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.